The Raptors take on the Clippers tonight, but if you're a Scott Foster, you might not be allowed in Toronto anymore. This is Hoop Talks. Hey guys, and welcome to Hoop Talks. I'm your host, Noor Zainab. Next to the J-Unit, Jelani Goodridge-Reed and Justin Pooney, we look a little bit different today.
Who digs? We look
a little more sophisticated,
I like it.
Accomplished, polished together.
New set, new us.
And I think I feel like I've been given more power in this seat. I feel like I'm Judge Judy. I feel like anything you guys say, I can cut off
Judge Noor
in a second.
I don't know
Judge
about Noor. That.
I should get a Judge Noor sign right
yeah,
over
we'll
here. I think it's
going to
be perfect. But okay, guys. First things first, the Raptors played against the Denver Nuggets just on Monday, and it was quite the interesting game all throughout, especially the last minute. So we'll break that down for you guys, and right after, they actually take on an ex-Raptors champion, Mr. Kawhi Leonard, tonight, and we'll figure out how the Raptors can stop the problem that is the Claw. And tonight, we'll have Justin tee up the Ja Morant Warrant Chronicles, and we'll just talk about what's happening and why it's happening and how we can all stop behavior like this in the future. But that's not today's right now's problem. Right now's problem is the Raptors taking on the Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. They lost that game by 5 points. I think it ended up being a closer game than we all imagined it to be. They were leading pretty much the entire time, and the last minute really screwed us over. Before we get to the last minute, which is definitely very highly controversial, let's talk about Nikola Jokic. He is the leading running MVP favorite right now. And he's averaging a triple-double. It's straight up a triple-double. So you can't even deny his greatness. But the Raptors limited him to 17 points. He had, I believe, 9 points in the second half. And he didn't have a triple-double last night. He was one rebound short of it. But I mean, it's still not a triple-double. So is that a good night in Nick Nurse's books?
I mean, OG played really good defense on Nikola Jokic, made his life very hard. Now, he didn't take as many shots as I would expect him to take, which, Kendrick Perkins might be talking about.
Oh, my God.
Stat path.
I'm not going to go down that path anymore.
But, no, the Raptors, they played really good defense on Nikola Jokic. They made it hard for him. But Jamal Murray stepped up and played it very big, right? He had a very good game, Jamal Murray, 20-plus points. And, again, it was a very good game by the Toronto Raptors. They played a very, very good first three quarters. They were locked in completely, and I was very impressed with what I saw. Now, the fourth quarter problems did rear its ugly head once again. That's something that they're really going to have to work on, but I can give them kind of a pass on that because they were going up against a team in the Denver Nuggets who are the best team in the Western Conference and one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best team in the NBA. So there was a lot of positives to take away from the Raptors, but again, come crunch time, they weren't able to bury their opponent. And then we saw the officiating take place, which we're going to talk about in a second too. But
yeah. As for Jokic, right, the guy that I believe is the MVP, the rightful MVP. Mm-hmm. Okay, we did play him pretty well, right? We saw, like you said, Justin, OG Anunoby. He made his presence felt on that side. And I was really liking the double teaming. We doubled him a lot. We got him uncomfortable. It was like watching Jurassic Park. You know how a pack of Raptors always swarm those guys? That's what we did with Jokic, right? We got the ball out of his hands. Obviously, when the ball's out of his hands, he could hurt you, of course, with how he can pass the ball. But I think it was the fact that we did limit him, right? He only put up 3 shots in the first half, right? So that's what you like to see. That's where the 9 points came from, right? And I think that Jokic, he could definitely hurt you in terms of the scoring, but I think the Raptors did a really good job of the double teaming. And it was more so when he got closer to the basket. When he got in the paint, that's when Nick Nurse, he definitely pregame said, okay, guys, this is the MVP. Mm-hmm. All right, so we got to zero in on him, right? But on that point, that's why last episode we talked about we got to limit the other dudes. Jamal Murray, we talked about how he's been playing as of late. The 20-plus points, the last five games, he had 30
three-pointers.
Yeah, he's actually closing in on Will Barton's Denver Nuggets record.
He's one more way to break Will Barton's record.
Yeah, from downtown. So that was another thing. And then the fact of the matter is also MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., he got his looks. So I do like how we played Jokic in terms of shutting down or, slowing him down in terms of the scoring. But he did do his thing. He did his thing. I'm expecting him to have double-digit rebounds, double-digit assists. That didn't surprise
me. That's why I think it's crazy that a guy like Nikola Jokic having 17 points, you're like, you know what? That's a good night for the Raptors. They did well defending him. And the fact that we, again, like I said, 1 point off of an assist, I get, but like not giving him the triple-double mm-hmm. to add to his stat list is, right. to me, it's amazing. But on the side of the Raptors, I thought it was Fred VanVleet that stood out to me the most because he had a team-high 21 points. On top of that, he was also assisting with 14 dimes happening on that court. So I think we've noticed him coming back in the lineup has been so huge for this team. Yeah. He was obviously working slowly into it, but as you saw the second game against the Washington Wizards, how he held Bradley Beal to pretty much nothing in the fourth quarter and then now doing whatever he can with nobody else really providing. So how important is he and how important has he been to this team after his coming back?
Said it the other day, he's massively important. Like, we need to see all-star Fred VanVleet show up. Now, again, the production on the assists is something that you don't expect. You don't expect Fred VanVleet to average double-digit assists. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But the fact that pick and roll with Jakob Poeltl is working really, really effectively, and you're seeing it now catch its stride, it has been very nice to watch. It's giving teams problems on the defensive side of the ball, mm-hmm. and that's something the Raptors really need to exploit, I think, going forward if they want to win. Jakob had 18 points. Fred had 14 assists. Now, the one thing I will say about Fred VanVleet is the three-point shooting is still struggling a little bit. He's 3-for-9 from the three-point range, but I think as he gets back into this flow of things, he starts flowing, you're going to see him fall back up to the mean, the average of what he's at, because he's not a 33% three-point shooter, excuse me. He's more than the 40 percentile range, so I think that will get better as time goes up. And look, the Raptors could take some solace out of this too. Like, Scottie Barnes only had 9 points. Pascal Siakam shot 8-for-18. And they still pushed the best team in the West to the very end, right?
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens once they move to LA because, you know, the Clippers are there and, of course, the Lakers. But going back to Fred quickly, this is the Fred VanVleet the Raptors need. They need a guy who's averaging 20-plus, controlling the offense, and making the players around him better. That's the way the Raptors are going to make a push for this sixth seed and this plan. Is that Fred VanVleet has to be that floor general and that guy that can put the ball in the basket.
I like, as you said, that Scottie Barnes only had 9 points that night, because I think a lot of external factors were playing into the Raptors game. Let's look at the last minute of this game. Thanks to Mr. Scott Foster. He thought, this is my time to shine. It's Scott Foster time. I'm going to take over the game. And he essentially just made some terrible calls towards the very end of that minute. It was a free throw after free throw being awarded to the Denver Nuggets, being taken away from us, and we're getting fouled. And then Scottie Barnes catches an ejection that makes absolutely no sense. Made little to no sense. And then afterwards, when Scottie was actually asked about what he thought of him getting that tech and getting evicted from the game, this is what he had to say post game.
I was just saying something to myself, and then I guess he took offense to it, so it just threw me out of the game.
So he was questioning. Let's break this down. He ejected Scottie Barnes because Scottie Barnes was questioning the integrity of Scott Foster in that minute, which might be warranted because Scott Foster was screwing the Raptors over the whole fourth quarter. Yeah. So how fair was this ejection, you guys?
Totally not fair, right? Like, John, I see you're very upset about it. Go explain it.
Like, as a Raptors fan, I knew it was going to happen, okay? First of all, the fourth quarter Raptors, that's been a problem, all right? And then we understand who Scott Foster is. The fact that you know who the ref is, you know his name, and you know what comes with him, that's a problem, all right? That's a problem. We should not be knowing what Scott Foster... For years, we've known, you know, who he is as a ref.
Look at Chris Paul and him, right?
Yeah, it's automatic L. Yeah. That's basically what it is, right? So I'm saying to myself, Scotty had to said something, mm-hmm. right? That warranted that ejection, right? But same way, in the heat of the moment like that, I just find it unnecessary. That's just me. I find it unnecessary. But what I would say is, you can't fully, like, I get it. Scott Foster, that whole thing, last minute, right? But I don't believe the loss was strictly and solely on the referees, all right? The Raptors had a chance to win that game. All right, let's look at the fourth quarter.
They have 35 points in the fourth quarter.
They got outscored 35-25 in the fourth quarter. There were points in that fourth quarter when the Raptors were up. We were up 8 with like just under 6 minutes to play. Mm-hmm. All right, we were up 6 with just under like 3 minutes to play. Okay, and you're telling me you can't hold on to that? I get it. Denver's a tough place to play and all of that stuff. They're a contender, the number one in the West, all that stuff. But as a fan, I want to see these guys find a way to finish these games. We've been talking about it all year. right? So I think you can't only look at the referees. It's not just them that made us lose this game. The Raptors had opportunities. We talked about Fred VanVleet earlier. Don't forget that turnover. 1:15 left in the fourth quarter. Jokic made his presence felt. MVP play got in his way. All right. And then I saw, you know, that slick, foul. He baited Jakob into a foul. I think that the MVP plays were there from Jokic late. Right. He didn't score as much as we thought, but they were there. And then the problem is just didn't finish. You just didn't finish. But yeah, as for Scott, though, I see you. OK. And you need to stop. All right, Adam Silver, do something about this, okay? You can't have a guy like Scott Foster running these games like it's just like he has a parlay. It's like he had a parlay.
He wanted to be the main character, man. And that's what happened at the end of the game. Like,
yeah.
That was, and I saw it yesterday at the Warriors game. Like, I think Jordan Poole bounced past the ball to the ref, and he got teed up.
This is, okay. At
for
this
what?
Point,
like, exactly.
It's ludicrous.
This makes no sense.
It's ludicrous. You cannot have this. To me, this NBA, we've talked about it the last few years, all right? The referees need to stop. All right, it's been a problem. It's a big problem, to be quite honest with you. You know why? Because this league soft. S-O-F-T.
When you
soft.
When you know referees on a first name basis or a name basis like that, that's not a good thing.
No.
Shouldn't they be like the CIA, where you don't even know who they are, what
they
do, their names?
The refs are there to make sure the game is played within
the
rules.
The whole point of being a ref is to be like the most impartial, non-emotive person there, who's, you don't even know his name, his date, his
nothing
about him. He's just not supposed to do anything. Yeah. But there's referees out there where look at Scott Foster. He's known as the extender because he extends playoff series. He has the catchphrase called "This is Scott Foster time" because now it's Scott Foster time. He's going to take over the game that's supposed to be a game for the Raptors, a very important game. As you said, it's definitely not up to Scott Foster why they lost that game. The net rating Raptors struck again in the fourth quarter, but it's still the fact that Scott Foster did not make it easier on anybody.
Oh, no,
so,
I'm not happy.
And as funny, I think, as it is that we look at guys like this and we're like, this is hilarious. Like, he thinks he's him. This is his chance to be whoever he wants to be. But how do these main character decisions, jokes aside, really hurt the sport?
Well, look at it. The Raptors are fighting for their lives in the play-in and playoffs. This game could essentially come down and be the deciding factor of whether they get a home date in the play-in, get that sixth seed, or just completely make the play-in to begin with, right? Yeah. Games are so important at this time of the year, and to have refs try to take the shine away from what people come to the arena for. I go to watch a basketball game to watch players. I don't go to watch Scott Foster, Tony Brothers, whoever. I don't do that.
Yeah, Tony Brothers is the problem too.
Yeah, Tony Brothers is a problem,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But people spend their money to watch players play. I don't want... You're lucky that game was not in Toronto. Right, if that game was in Toronto, there'd be an uproar.
Oh,
right,
man.
The fact of the matter is this: these refs need to understand that they're there to do their job. You look at the NFL, right? The NFL has their refs just do their thing. Now, again, certain refs in the NFL
problematic,
right? But for the most part, the refs just stick to their job, right?
Just let them play the game. You're hurting the quality of the game. Yeah. You're hurting the momentum. You're hurting the fan experience. It's just not a good time. So hopefully tonight against the Clippers, we have better officials lined up and not looking to get their minute fame happening. But like I said, the Raptors take on the Clippers tonight. Their task is going to be the Kawhi Leonard, who in the last 10 games is averaging 28 points.
That's your boy.
That's my man. That's my man. He's always going to be my guy. But tonight, we have to stop him. So, guys, how do you stop the task that is Kawhi Leonard?
It's going to be tough. Kawhi's 5-0 against the Raptors.
Okay, relax.
He loves playing well against the Raptors.
It's true. Sadly, it's true.
It's true. Look, you're going to need to play. You're going to have the type of defensive effort that they had against Nikola Jokic on Kawhi Leonard. But then you got to worry about Paul George. Right, yeah. Norman Powell is out tonight, so you don't have to worry about that coming off the bench. But
they got Russ Westbrook now.
They
so
got Westbrook,
worry about
but
that
what's
too.
But then Westbrook,
your
could
other
be a,
boy,
yeah, well, yeah. as much as we love Westbrook, we know he can be a bit of a blessing and a curse, right? So the Raptors, they just got to do what they do best. You're gonna need a better game from Pascal Siakam. You're gonna need him to not shoot below 50%. You need him to play a little bit better. You're gonna need another, I think, some more offensive output from Scottie Barnes. It's gonna need to be a total team effort here. Mm-hmm. I am interested to see on how they deploy Gary Trent Jr. because he shot effectively against Denver. He shot 6 for 9. He had 13 points. You know, so I want to see how he deploys him. Will we see more minutes for Will Barton? What's gonna happen there? But to me, the biggest thing is, look, if the Raptors get up to the start they had in Denver, that will be good. But I need to see if they have the lead. Can they play well in the fourth quarter?
That's the million dollar question.
We talked last week about how well Scotty Barnes plays in the fourth quarter. That's great. But what does this team play in the fourth quarter? And that's how they're going to win games. I think it's going to be tough because the Clippers, they had that massive losing streak. They had a big win against Memphis, and now they could start getting their confidence back. Mm-hmm. And we know how dangerous the Clippers squad can be if they have their confidence in Kawhi and PG are playing the top of their game.
I'm actually kind of worried, too, because they're a really good three-point shooting team. And as we know about the Raptors, what can't they defend? The three-point line. So, Jelani, what do they do to hammer that problem out tonight?
Well, similar to that Denver game, right? How we were doubling and getting into Jokic, right? He hurt us because he found his spots,
yeah.
Right? And that's why guys got open, because we brought so much attention to a guy like Jokic, right? So tonight, if you're going to look at Kawhi, yes, he gets the load of the attention from the defense, but same way, that could open up other guys because he's such a good he's a good three-point shooter, but he's an even better guy in terms of, you know, just shooting around the field and around the arc. I think that he's going to draw defenders for sure, right? But then a guy like PG, Justin pointed it out, he could hurt you, of course. And then there's more problems. There's further issues on the outside. So I just really hope it's simple basketball. Just close out. Yeah. Make sure that you're running. Make sure that the endurance, that stamina is there tonight. I hope y'all were on your Peloton, because you got to be running
tonight.
People
still use Pelotons on a COVID?
Honestly, I don't know, because the prices have gone up.
They've gone down. Sure.
Really?
Peloton's a cheaper now. You can get like free Peloton workouts on like YouTube and stuff. So
you need the bike though. The whole
thing. But you can do it. You can do the. It's the workout, isn't it?
No, the Peloton's the bike though. That's the biggest.
I'm the wrong person to ask. Sorry.
I mean, I don't be on the bike anyway. The cardio gotta up that up. But I think that, you know, just talking about this game though, yeah, the problem is we're gonna have to be running a lot tonight, right? Because this is a team, the Clips can shoot it at a high clip. However, high clip, you saw that. But
yeah, caught on to that. We chose not to laugh about it.
It was a mid joke. But
L.
I'd also say this, though. Even though the Clippers can hurt you and the Raptors, you know, they've struggled throughout the year in terms of covering and defending that three, the Clippers live by the three and die by the three, okay? They're not always a great shooting team, right? We've seen stretches where they actually haven't shot the ball well from downtown. Actually, look at their last few games prior to that win against Memphis. They shot like 21% against the Warriors from downtown, right? They only hit 9 from 43. They were 9 from 43 from downtown against the Warriors. So you never know. The Clips, they're a team that, you know, it depends. It really depends on how they start. So that's why I'm saying you can't let them have a hot start. If they start shooting well, then they're going to feel themselves, and then maybe the offense gets going. So, yeah, hopefully.
I'm looking at that Pacific Division standings right now. It's so tight. They're only 5.5 games behind Sacramento. And that's the team as talented as the Clippers. The Lakers are 7
Lakers
games.
Lakers are coming.
Like,
you never know.
It's very close. And all these teams in the Western Conference now, this heightened, like the Raptors, this heightened pressure to play well, because every night the playoff race changes so much.
Yeah.
So I expect, it's going to. The last couple games with the Raptors has been very, minus the Washington game, the first game against Washington. Since that Chicago game, it's been close.
And I think I might even give the edge somewhat to the Raptors here, because if you look at, they have the big name guys there. They've got Kawhi, they've got Paul George. They also have help with Terrence Mann, Reggie Jackson coming off everywhere. But I think the one thing that I can give the edge to the Raptors is facilitating, because they don't really have that guy to pass the ball around. So even if you have guys like Paul George and Kawhi drawing bodies, they would have to make the smart play to kick out the ball to the right person. So that is, I think, where Fred VanVleet will shine, because as you saw, 14 assists the other night. If he can continue to do that and get those guys open, make those pick and rolls with the Poeltl. And this also falls on Nick Nurse. Like, I want to see some plays. Do you remember those days where Lowry used to take the court and he would be half court, lifts up a finger that tells the team what the play is going to be, and they have that play happening. I don't think I've seen one play being made in half court, and that's the problem, because that falls on coaching, in my opinion, if you have to have those plays being drawn out.
Since we got Jakob, though, the offense has been better.
It's been a bit more
traditional.
Yeah, they go back to that traditional.
Obviously, that pick and roll has been killing teams, but I think, for sure, we need more creativity. Let's be moving.
You just need moves, like, you should have something under your belt. If you get to a point where it's all sticky, let's just run something, run a play. Let's see something happen, but I haven't seen that. We'll see how the Raptors can handle that part.
So you're going to the Raptors tonight?
I'm gonna go to the Raptors tonight. You guys?
Toronto.
Oh shit.
I think that they're angry. The way that game ended in Denver.
The way I see it is this. They played such a good game on Wednesday and they still lost.
Okay, Justin, what about you? You think?
I go Clippers.
Okay, well, before we ask you why, because I don't really care to ask you why, let's talk about Ja Morant. So, Justin, tee us up.
Guys, unless you've been living under a rock and you've been unaware of the whole Ja Morant situation, of course, last week it started off that he beat up another teenager, flashed a gun. Then he got in a fight at a Memphis mall at Finish Line. And if you've ever been to Finish Line, staff there is great in the States. I love Finish Line. If you need a sponsor.
JPB out there.
Now, but on Friday, after they played against these Denver Nuggets we were just talking about, Ja Morant went to the strip club and did this. Now, look, I'm all for guys having fun. He's a young guy, wants to go out, have fun. I get it. But you have to understand this. Look at the position you're in. You just got a $200+ million contract from the Memphis Grizzlies. You got a new signature shoe from Nike. You got a Powerade has not endorsed an NBA athlete in 5+ years. Ja Morant, you cannot be doing this stuff. And I'm looking at T. Morant as well as his father. Raised him up to be a great. You've never heard any of this about Ja until now. But T. Morant and Ja Morant need to really look at themselves in the mirror and grow up. Yep. Right? He needs to understand, I'm a role model. Whether he wants to be a role model or not, he is a role model to kids. Kids wear his jersey, come to games to watch him play. They play NBA 2K to be Ja Morant. But Ja Morant can't act like this. I've heard countless NBA players this week talk about how, we've been in those situations too, but we hired security. We let the law do it because we understand we're a bigger part of it. Carmelo Anthony got suspended 15 games by David Stern. What did he say? He said David Stern knew who he was with, who he was hanging with, and he's like, if you want to stay with that route, go ahead, but you're not going to be in the NBA, and I have to make an example of you. You have to be an adult. And I just think Ja Morant needs to grow up and understand that I'm an adult now. I'm the breadwinner for my family. I have a certain amount of responsibility, and I have to take that seriously, and I don't think he has.
Yeah, I love Ja. You guys know this. He's one of my favorite players in the league, but the way that we're seeing him act, the way we're seeing him behave as of late, I don't like it. So you said it best. He's in a prime position right now. He's a young player, superstar player, right? And remember, he's a father, okay? People forget that. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to talk about T. Morant. He's also a father. He's got to lead by example in that area. And, of course, with the kids, you know, across Memphis and Tennessee and everywhere, right? So I just think he's got to chill. He's got to chill. Just stick to the hooping. Hopefully people in his camp will help him out. We'll see what happens with the investigation with the NBA.
Could be a 50+ game suspension too.
We've seen it with Gilbert Arenas.
Well, I have a solution. I actually saw this on Twitter. It was if you want to punish him, send him out to a country that doesn't have that has gun laws.
Right.
You know,
where would that be?
Do you own a gun? I don't own a gun. I don't know where to own a gun from.
I know where this is going.
Can we own a gun? I don't know how to own a gun.
I think they should move him to like a city like Toronto. I think that would be a fantastic move.
You think a guy like Ja would afford the nightlife like the Toronto has?
Ah, man.
Think about it like that.
That kind of, We didn't think about that.
I didn't think about that. John King Street West, that might not be a good scene.
Yeah, but where is he getting access to the firearms? There's not going to be
the firearms. Look with the nightlife in Toronto.
You know? That's fine. You can see James Harden going off with the nightlife. Justin. He can do what he wants. Yeah. That's okay. That's not a problem.
Me and John at the booth at 4.
It's more so keeping him away from the problems and the problem or not be presenting itself in Toronto. So if anybody wants to, T. Morant, if you want to give your son a bright future, think about Toronto. We're in a bad spot to be. But speaking of Toronto, we play against the Clippers tonight, playing against one of our favorite ex-Raptor champions, Mr. Kawhi Leonard. Let's see if the Raptors can get this win. They need to. They need to get one of these wins either tonight or on Friday, against the Lakers. So time is ticking. We're all watching. Hopefully the Raptors can pull this one out, and we'll see you guys next time.